session number 9535, reel 15.
George Cole, Reel 15. You were telling me last time, or begun to tell me, about an incident at an aerodrome where you were working.
Yes, there was a work near the aerodrome, tidying up. It wasn't really work, we were just tidying up. And there's one of the German aeroplanes landed close to the hangar. I says, the pilot got out, I says, and he amazed me. I says, he left the engine running. You can see the propeller turning, the engine ticking over, see. So I know it to my mate. I said, well, I was on about escaping. He says, I wish I knew how to start that plane. He says, how's that? Well, I says, there's the engine running. I says, so I'm at the jump lane. Oh, I says, I can be across all lines in 5 or 10 minutes. He says, did you talk? I says, I'm talking, Doc, because I says, I didn't know. I might touch something and stop it, see? But I said, if been any other Air Force lads here, I says, you ought to handle the plane. I says, because it jumped in and off. But anyway, I says, that went, because I wouldn't do it, so we doesn't attempt it, I says, cause, but that was only one incident, I say.
Did you talk about escape often? Did you get, what escape. Sort of?
And then I says, well, I was planning escaping, I'm talking about escaping. Everybody asked me, wondering how you're going to escape, I say. So one day, Mark Carr and I were talking as usual about it. I says, Mark, I says, I think I'll rehearse escaping. He says, what are you going to do? I says, I think I'll get back into camp. He says, didn't be so daft. No, I says, keep quiet. I says, I'll never tell anybody but him. I says, keep quiet and don't let on. I says, I'm away. So, anyway, when we used to go on the old lead trains, you know, I says, there was no, but you go behind the hedges. So I got away, and I was behind the hedges, and I waited and waited and waited, wondering, should I not? And anyway, I dodged away along the hedge, in the next field, worked my way along, and I'll be roughly about a mile and a half from the camp where we were working. Anyway, I was dodging, I was keeping on the roads, near the road, and yet not near enough to be observed, because those troops going up the line, German troops. Anyway, eventually I got near the camp now to cross to the other side of the road. See? Anyway, I got myself clear, I got close up the camp, and I was surrounded with barbed wire. And I says, it just struck me then, oh, am I going to get in? I suddenly realised it was as hard getting in as it was getting out. Anyway, I sat there behind hedges, sitting waiting and wondering, planning and scheming. And then I noticed there were some of the old fellas that was injured, lamed or sick. They were loaned, the Germans were loaning them out to get some firewood to make fires. And, I said, that's it. So I waited until I saw them change the guard. Because I said, if I went in, I said, the guard would know I hadn't come out, see. So anyway, I waited and waited long enough when I saw them change the guard on the gate. And just nice and got the guard changed when I went out with a lump of wood, a branch of a tree, and I was hobbling in as if I was injured. My heart was going 50 to the dozen. But anyway, the guard, he just nodded to me and never took much notice. I just walked away. I got in, lit a fire, and I sat waiting. Eventually, the working party started coming back. So the usual procedure was they used to stop at the gate, and the guards used to go to the guard room, count them in, say they're all in, say in the number, count them up. And they're all there, pass them off, dismiss, see. So, as I expected, our party was the last one to come back. So, eventually turned up, and rather strange Mark car was more or less in the front. And I was sitting in the camp, looking out the out over, and Marky was stood there with the lot. And there was all war on the officers, the German officers went out and they were surrounded the party, counted and recounted, but they couldn't get the old man. They was only get 99 because I was sitting inside. And the laughable part was that Mark Carr could see me and I could see him and he knew what the room was, right? But anyway, they dismissed them. The finisher sort of hopeless to dismiss them, especially me. And he said, the first thing he said to me, you don't do that bugger no more. He said, they've knocked hell out of us. I said, so, hey, and he told us what the Germans had done with me, counting, couldn't get the 100 men, you know, and they took the vengeance out of the men that was there. Anyway, at night time, we had to line up for the bread, and everybody was out, even the men that was walking the cocoa, so old men that was walking the cocoa, everybody was all lined up, all the guards was out, and they went along, counting them all. But before they started counting up, there was an interpreter, he was a Jew, and he was acting as interpreter. And when he came along the lines, I nudged Mark, he asked, what's the matter? Because there was all sorts of rumours going in the camp, and I was count up. I says, hey, what's the matter? Well, he says, I think one of our lads has escaped. I says, what? He says, I think one of our lads has escaped. Well, I says, good luck to him. And Mark, he says, you're bugging it there, you. And anyway, when they counted, everybody was there, see? And they counted the year and went over, and the changes faced out, they've changed altogether when everyone was in there. Somebody made a mistake, as they thought. But the mistake was me getting to camp, and I says, I think I'll be the only man he ever seen he escaped into camp. But the number of tunings after that, we. Indelible pencil. Mine was 339. And on working parts, you used to get it 1 to 100, then 101 to 200, and so on. But eventually, with them being sick and falling out, that went with the board, they say. But that was a point of what would, and they no more tried to escape.
What were the problems you had for escape? I mean, you'd got out.
The problem we had, if we got out, we had no food to start with, and we would need food. We would have found our way, you know. It was easy enough to find our way about north, to get, our idea would be to get to Holland, see. But food was the factor, see. And we knew the civilian population, they would be on the starvation line more or less same as us, see. But anyway, later on, we did make an attempt at Kielce.
We'll come to that when we get to that camp then. Right. So, how were the prisoners organised themselves? Did you have any internal organisation in the
camp?
No,
there was nothing. You just sit. You just used to sit among one another talking and planning and. There's nothing there. You just used to mix with bits of parties together and talk about this and one thing or another. There's no recreation. Nothing at all, see.
Well, so, there weren't any officers in the camp. Was there not a senior NCO who was in charge?
There was no, they had no authority over us, no NCO. There was German officers and NCOs, but the only ones in our lot there were set up to corporals and sergeants, but there was no other NCOs above them. And the only difference they made with them was that they did no work. It just went with us, it just a matter of being there, see.
Did they have any control over you at all, as corporals?
They had no control at all, because they used to go on a working party and say there's 20 men went for this job to put a corporal there, right? He was just starting, and he had no control at all, you can see.
Did you have any sort of informal camp committees or any sort
no,
of
nothing,
internal...
Nothing at all, nothing of that kind at all. You're there, you're just a prisoner, and that's... That's out of the motive too, see.
Were there any other... Was it just army prisoners?
Just army there. There was one fellow, was a dispatch rider. Well, that's in the army, but there was no flying corps. It used to be the flying corps that day, not the Air Force, eh? But there's no flying corps for us.
Were they all British?
all British in that particular camp there.
Was there any quarrelling amongst the prisoners? You've told us about sometimes they used to quarrel and fight.
Well, I used to quarrel among ourselves about the ration, the food, right, and they get longer, but I think it was just when the boredom and getting bent to something, you know, say, because I'm on the same boat, say.
There was nothing too serious then between
prisoners? No, I never saw nothing serious at all, I say.
Well, how did you get on with the guards?
The German guards, well, fairly well with the guards. We used to get old jobs, and they used to put what. The very seldom got any bad treatment off them. There was hard ones in there, but I remember one time we stood talking, and about this happened when the Germans shooting, loose, dummy, loose, how are you going to work? And I says to my mate, I says, if I was getting a groom, we should be getting. I says, that's good. I could equal any two of them. And the bottom gentleman says, what's that you say? I said, if I was getting food, I could match any two of you. And they were something. Then he translated what I'd said, you know, I say, to these mates, and they laughed and smiled, which they knew it was it. We couldn't work. Because we weren't getting the food, see. And it's the day when the trick we used to do, you know, when I'm working, I used to tell Mark in different ones, we used to, supposed to be accidentally, we'd get a shovel and bury it, see. If it was a shovel line, it would bury a shovel or picks, like, it was a kind of sabotage, see. And one time we were laying around me, and one of us was set on putting their boats down for the fish baits to cut the rails up, you know. And I kept whipping the boat away into the grass. And Marty said, what are you doing that for? I said, that seems in their wild effort. That. And I says, you want to do as much as you can, and I'm not saying it. Chuck them away, I says, and that's one short from all the way, you see. I said, every little helps. And I did a lot of that.
Was there any other example you can give us of that sort of hindering?
Why, they're just about doing that, like, and because I was all them six, like, when if there's anything a job to do, it's laughable, you know. We used to do willful mistakes, you know, you see,
such as
did it a purpose. You if you get the lip of the rail, you used to put it a long way around, or upside down, or. And one time we were putting fish plates on, you know, had a couple of tow rails together. When there's a certain way to put them on to fit in with the rail, we put them on inside out, you know, I think, and come and blast them.
What did they do? And did they ever catch you doing this?
No, you also were on the sly, like, they used to come, they couldn't tell me, but they used to curse and swear at you, and louse you. Of course, we didn't know exactly what they were saying about that. In their language.
Were they ever violent towards you when you were willfully stupid or something like that, made deliberate mistakes?
No, I couldn't say them, except anybody turning on them and turning on the Germans while they used to lash out them, see? It paid you. You could get it again, but keep your tongue between your teeth, ladies. You know what I mean? If you showed any resentment to them, they'll take revenge on you. So there's one time when we were at Pontefract, they organised, when we were building the railway, that big loop railway, they organised the men for two shifts, and they used to be sent the men go out on the morning, and then the second shift that was going to go out, you used to get the dinners before they went away, say. Then the first working party, you used to get the dinner coming back, eh? So they used to march out, and on the road, the different working parties used to pass one another. And some of the men that was on the new working party going out, used to dodge out the columns, and they weren't coming back. And anyway, Jenny went along for a tumult, and the guards in charge, he was in the centre, stopped you jumping the queue.
Did you have to salute the German guards or call them anything in particular?
Oh, no. But just a little me, I always little me when I talk, some old chaps, they died there saying, comrade. And I didn't talk to German, comrade. And somehow or another, I could never get known to call a German a comrade, see? That always took in my mind that I used to tell them, I says, I couldn't allow myself, I says, to call a German a comrade, see?
Did you have any special nickname for them that you used amongst yourselves?
Oh, I used to call them jellies, that's they were all jellies, that's the only name we used to give them, jelly edition.
Were any of the POWs, you've said this thing about some of them call them comrade,
uh-huh.
Were any of the POWs, did they fraternise too much, you know, as in cooperating with the Germans in hope of getting better conditions, or was it that as far as it went?
No, as far, unless, there's one or two, but I don't know, it might have been, look, they got jobs in the coal cushion, we were on the working fires. But that's all I saw, where there's any favouritism with them, see. They were all the same, see. But, take them on the whole, I never saw anybody that was, that did out detrimental to us, except one man, that was later on.
Were you ever asked to give parole? You know, promise not to escape.
If what?
Were you ever asked to give parole, promise not to escape?
Oh, no, there's nothing like that, see. And there's one time there was a German, he came, and I don't know whether he's trying or quizzing or not, say, but he could talk good English, and he used to come at night and talk to us, say. And I remember him telling us that we're asking how the push had gone on, the German push, say. Or he says, we're going all right, he says. In a month, he says, we will be in Paris. He says, and in 3 months, he says, we will be in London. See? And I says, I expect being taken prisoner, sir. He says, what? I says, I expect being taken prisoner. He says, what do you mean? I says, that's the only way you'll ever get to Paris or London. I says, you'll never. He says, how's that? I says, because you've lost the war, sir. He says, you've what? I says, you've lost the war. And my mate says, shut up, bud. He says, no, he says, sir. You speak, he says. He's not saying nothing wrong, see. I says, you haven't gotten very far with the push, I says. It hasn't gone as expected. He says, what makes you say that? I says, what I've noticed, sir. He says, what's that? I says, we're a long way off Paris now, he says, yes. But I says, we can still see our balloons in the distance. We can see your line of balloons. We're behind the line, see. I says, we can see your observation balloons. I says, then beyond them again, we can see our balloons, smaller still. I says, that proves, that's the demarcation line is. I says, you haven't got no further. I says, I dare say, you're no farther than about 5 or 10 miles from me, you know. And when I come to them, it was late, they'd been halted, see. They never got down here, see. And he says, you notice things, yes? And I says, you're using English equipment on your horses, harness what you've captured. He says, yes. I says, you're using English boots, what you've took off prisoners and dead men. They weren't English boots, see. I says, so you're short of material, so that. I says, I've noticed that, so I says, in my opinion, I says, you've lost the war, sir. And he came to say that, that fellow had a good talk, just on such matters and things, see. And, but it proved right that was a stop. They didn't get as far as they expected, see.
What was your morale like in the camp? I mean, you'd been taken prisoner. How did you feel?
Well, we were depressed at first, like, and then we got used to it, and we used to talk, and I used to book them up that way, and I used to tell Marky, I says, I can tell you, so they haven't gotten as far as they expected to get them, see? And though it was down, like it being captured, they say, but I wouldn't say that it was that low, like, say.
Was there anybody in the camp who did get very low, and anybody who broke down or committed suicide or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. But mine, there was different ones that died in that. Died up there, like, see. Just there's one man, he belonged here, he's had his foot on a group in there. At a labour, he died. And after the war, when I was back here working, his father was a watchman at the pit. Jack Leary. And he must have known I'd been away, because there was a record number went from this place. And he kept saying, I wonder this year what become of old Harry. And what become of old Harry. And anyway, it went on, and it finished. I kept studying myself, I should have told him or should I not. I says, wait, he had no word from him. He says, George, you see, I got word he was missing. He says, I've never had any word from him since. And I knew he was captured the same as us, see. At the finish, I says, well, Jack, I says, I'll tell you. I says, I'll put your mind at rest. And I says, you know what, he died when he was a prisoner. He was a prisoner of war, same day as me, and he died. I says, I was there when I had to bury him, see. And that was old Jack Leary, see. And I mean, his son's photo on a group in there now. And they never got word about him, see. And yet he got word about me, being dead, after I got home.
Did you ever feel that you might not survive the war? Did you feel...
No, and personally, myself, I always had that feeling I would come through, like, see.
Were there any rumours in the camp as to what was happening?
No, we just had to take what the Germans used to tell us. But the best we ever got was after I tried to escape, after Mark and me tried to escape.
Okay, we'll come to that later then.
See?
I think now we'll move on. Uh-huh. You know, you say you were at Pontevert about a month.
About a month or something like that.
So that would take you up to when, about?
So it was took on the 27th of May, and it was into June, then, see. And they moved over there.
What happened with the move? Can you remember how the move... was the move organised?
Oh, just moved, got at the camp, all lined up and marched. We didn't know where we were going, you know.
Oh, the whole camp went?
All camp. We moved away from there. And I went to a place called Bussy.
Was this by marching?
I remember going on the march with nothing, no water, nothing, and we got the same, and the fellas took the field dressings out the fucking, and it was like gauze. They took it out and put our own noses to stop the dust on, or was that dusty in that thing. And we stopped one place to get a drink. There were zones, what had been horn zones, washed out, and was clamming for a drink of water, and as though rushing to get a drink, the Germans had thrown his rifle, and they remember he hit me on the top of the nose, right away, grazed all of my nose, when he put his rifle, when I was scrambling for water, like, say.
Why did he do that?
Because we were on, dry, we were thirsty.
No, but why did he do that?
Because in his party, there was someone when like that. They were young, when I found out, the most brutal among the Germans was the younger ones. The healthy ones, there was more women, but the younger ones, they had strong, the same as they used to take revenge out of the woods, see. But I wouldn't remember that day, we were clamming for drinks of water, and we got the beauty.
Did any people fall out during the march, you know?
Oh, yes, the father opened, and yet sat there and carried them on with me, see.
What? You carried?
We had to carry them, see. And
how long was the march?
From Pontevert to Bussy, couldn't see any miles, like, but a good few miles, because we went out, we were on our gear sailing, you know, see. And we made a railway siding there.
At Bussy?
At Bussy.
What was the camp like at Bussy?
The camp there, then huts, but there's no beds in there. You have to sleep in like tiers, and it's just a wire mesh. You had no blankets, no bedclothes, nothing, just lying on there. And Lying in their hoods there, lying one to the other there.
How many tiers were there?
Two or three tiers, see, in the room there. But there was no blankets in no shape or form. Why, in fact, from the day I was took prisoner till the day we were released at Lansdorf, we never had a change of clothes, no clothes or nothing in the store, see.
Did the food change at all at Bussy? Did you get any more?
No. The food never changed there from Bussy until they went to a place called Cusy. There was a Bussy, and they went to a place called Cusy Le Chateau.
So at Bussy, you got pretty well the same food. Were working parties, were conditions pretty well the same?
Pretty well the same work
as at Pont de Vert.
And
you were building another railway site?
We had a railway site. I remember we made a railway site in there, and I've got all the different lines. It looked like a marshal in the yard of some kind, see. But we're on working one day, and all of a sudden there's about three or four American planes come over, and one of them was swooped down. And they come all fairly close above us, eh? And they swung down, and off they went again, and went away down, and then they went around, like in a circle, and come back, and then another swoop. And we were walking along there, and somewhere among us said, better get out the road, eh? See? And you think they'd known. And the third time they come, they started dropping bombs. And those trucks flying all over, and as it happened, there wasn't one of all lads was hit. We're all dodging away, and the knock tails, bells out, they must be watching them, reckon it now. And they say, oh, they come up with three sweeps, bombing, low level, that's what they used to call dive bombing after that, they say. And
did the guards try and stop you running away?
The guards were running with us. Those guards, we were shouting, us and the guards were lying together shouting from the bombs, see. But the American, they were American planes, you see, with the star on, see. And they knocked the hell out of the side there. And then went to Cusy Le Chateau.
How long were you at Bussy?
Oh, I think it was going to be a week or two there.
Was that where you tried to escape from, or was it Cusy?
No, tried to escape from Cusy Le Chateau.
So you were
the
at
last
Bussy
one.
Yeah, you weren't at Bussy long.
No.
When the camp moved, did the whole camp move with guards and everything?
The guards and us went.
The trouble
was that we didn't know then, see, but what was happening, that our side, the English, was on the advance. And they were shoving us back, see? The Germans were getting shoved back, so they were shoving the prisoners back.